Alexandra Zapruder knows how conspiracy theories can be stubbornly immune to the truth. Her grandfather, Abraham Zapruder, filmed the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. And as she writes in a new book, those 26 seconds of film have been the subject of decades of rumor and innuendo.
Now, conspiracy theories are actually affecting Alexandra Zapruder's neighborhood. She lives near the D.C. pizza place that's been the target of baseless theories that it's actually running a child sex slave ring connected to the Democrats. And those theories even led a man to self-investigate, arm himself, and fire his gun at the pizza place. Zapruder wrote about this for the New York Times, and I asked her what it felt like to hear about this conspiracy growing up so close to home.
I think I felt that it was familiar to me, that I had studied conspiracy theories in the aftermath of the JFK assassination. And while some of them were grounded in fact, some of them were certainly very far away from reality. And so there was something about a story that took hold and that wouldn't go away that felt familiar to me, yes.
Now, despite the fact that the Warren Commission, the official government investigation into the assassination of JFK, concluded that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone, the Zapruder film fueled many conspiracy theories after. Can you describe some of them that you found as you were researching the book?
In contrast to the findings of the Warren Report, there are many people who look at the film and believe that it shows evidence that the president was shot from the front. And then, of course, there are theories around the film that the film itself was altered to cover up, basically, the evidence of a conspiracy. And there are many more than I could even begin to describe in this interview, but those are two of the main ones.
And did you fall down the rabbit hole looking into them?
I did.
What did you learn about kind of the idea about conspiracy theories more generally?
I found that it is incredibly difficult with people who are committed conspiracy theorists to ever gain a foothold in any kind of conversation. It's a kind of dizzying experience where you kind of feel like you're just not having the same conversation in the end with this person.
You write that it's impossible to dispel the amorphous cloud of suspicion.
Right, because if you don't share the conspiracy theory with the most extreme believers, then either you're a dupe or you're part of the cover-up. And I will just say that one of the few tweets that I got before I shut down my Twitter account was, before I wrote this article, I tweeted something to Donald Trump about, you know, speaking out against this. And the first tweet that came back was, pedophiles protecting their own, I see. And so there it is. There it is. You know, I must be part of the cover-up because I am taking an oppositional view.
You write that the mainstream media can't do a thing about this. Who do you think has the credibility and or the responsibility to say decisively something that would actually dispel these rumors?
I mean, I think that's a great question. I think Donald Trump is the most obvious person. He is now the president-elect. In general, the people who are following this story and believing it are his supporters. And I think it is incumbent upon Mr. Trump and other leaders in the Republican Party to speak to their own supporters and to say, you know, we can disagree with the Democrats on policy and we can disagree with Hillary Clinton, but that does not make her a child trafficker. And there is no evidence for this. No one benefits when there are attacks upon the truth like this.
You know, talking to you, I think it's pretty clear conspiracy theories have been around for a long time. Is this an overreaction to the spread of them now? I mean, is the only difference here just the medium, right? The distribution, that it's online?
No, I don't think it's an overreaction. There is such a change in our rhetoric and in our public discourse and what passes for acceptable public discourse that it's extremely dangerous. This isn't sort of a side issue. To me, this issue of fake news and the idea that ideologically minded people are peddling stories that have no basis in fact in order to further an agenda that then could lead to violence or could shape the way that entire swaths of our country view things that are going on, that's very, very, very serious. That really can bring about, you know, a kind of sea change in the way that we function that I think is extremely worrying.
Alexandra Zapruder has written a book called 26 Seconds, A Personal History of the Zapruder Film. Thank you for coming in to speak with us.
Thank you so much for having me.